We welcome you back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. During this Easter season, many people come with many special needs. The last couple of times we've been looking at the centurion, who entered into the presence of Jesus, definitely a non-believer, and his life was changed. And then there's Peter. Peter, the man who spent, 3 years with Jesus. But his life definitely needed to be changed as well. You remember what Peter did right before the crucifixion that caused Jesus, in the midst of his trial, to turn around and look with love at Peter? Yeah, you remember. Peter denied even knowing the Lord Jesus. Now Jesus has risen again from the dead. What a wonderful Easter story that is. And most of the disciples were filled with joy over the resurrection of the Lord. And I guess you could say Peter was too, but yet there was something missing. The fellowship of the Lord was missing. I guess my question this morning is that true of your life? Are other people rejoicing over the Easter season? Are other people so excited about who Jesus is and what he's done and the changes that have taken place in their lives? And then there's you. Is it kind of old hat? Have you walked away from the Lord? Have other things become more important? Have you had some doubts and questions? And as a result of that, you've walked away from God. Well, then John 21 is where you need to read. The Bible tells us that because of the Lord's actions and his words, we can see his love for Peter. And guess what? He also loves you. It says that Peter said in verse 3 of John 21, "I'm going to go fishing." All the rest of the disciples said, "Well, we're going to go with you." Now remember, for many of them, that was their occupation before Jesus came and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so the Bible says then, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples didn't understand it was Jesus, and he simply said, "Hey, how's fishing?" You know, that's what fishermen always ask each other. "How's fishing? Caught anything? Children, have you any meat?" And they simply answered, "No." They didn't know who he was. But then he said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find." And they cast, therefore, and they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." It is the Lord. And the Bible says, when Simon Peter heard that it was, he cast himself into the sea and starts coming to the Lord. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said, "Bring your fish. Let's fry them. Let's have a fish fry." Everybody was gathered around the fire, but you know, I wonder if Peter's mind went back to the fire that he was gathered around the last time he saw the Lord Jesus. The fire where he was warming his hands, and the young girl said, "Don't I recognize you? Aren't you one of his disciples?" And now he's around a fire again, and the Lord Jesus is present again. Don't you know how our mind goes back in flashbacks? How we're able to just kind of remember the times of failure and sin, and it's so discouraging. But Jesus then said, "Come and dine." And so when they came, Jesus took bread and gave them fish. And this is the third time now that he had shown himself to them after he'd risen again from the dead. And when they were done eating, Jesus said, "Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Lord, you know that I love thee." And he said, "Well, then feed my lambs." He asked that question 3 times. Now, he called him Simon, which was a reminder that his name as a sinner. He had called him Peter. Remember he changed his name to Peter? But now he's calling him back by his original name, Simon, son of Jonas. Jonas. Yeah, that's the same root word as Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, who, like Peter, fled from the Lord's call to surrender and serve. Oh, my. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? You see, the Bible tells us that Jonah was always an object lesson to the Jews. In Matthew 12:41, it tells us that God intended to use the revival of Nineveh as an object lesson to the Jews in the New Testament times. Basically, if God will send revival there upon their repentance, then he'll send it to the Jews upon their repentance. But for God to have this object lesson, Jonah had to go and preach. He had to surrender himself to God. And the same question came to Simon Peter. Peter, when are you going to surrender? When are you going to let me be in control of your life? And that's a question the Lord's wanting to ask us today. During this Easter season, you're out of fellowship with the Lord. And he's saying, would you surrender to me? Because I have so many wonderful things that I would love to be able to do in you and through you. But you first of all have to surrender. And then is the word sacrifice. He was asking him to make a sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is only made when we love the Lord completely. But Peter didn't love the Lord completely. In fact, when Jesus said, do you love me with supreme love, with agape love? And Peter's response was, Lord, I'm fond of you. His response was, Lord, you bring me pleasure. You see, the agape love is based on a sense of value. What is the value of the object that I love? Is that object precious? That's agape love. But for Peter, he said, Lord, you bring me pleasure. Pleasure. God wants our relationship to be more than just one of pleasure, one of entertainment, one of, oh, this is fun. God wants our relationship to be one of sacrifice. And that's why Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Isn't it interesting that he didn't ask Peter if he loved people? He said, now, Peter, you say you love me, okay, feed my sheep. In other words, take care of my people. But he didn't ask him if he loved people. You see, because if Peter learns to love Christ, he's going to love people because Christ loves people. The same thing is true for you and me. Christ doesn't ask us to love people because there are people that we don't enjoy even being in their presence. But Christ said, I want you to love me. I want you to love me even when you can't love people. Has somebody's face just come to your mind that you really struggle loving? Yes, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want you to love me so I can give you a love for people. You see, because agape love expresses compassion. It's the same word used in Ephesians 5:25 for husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Now, it's not shown by doing what the person loved desires, but rather what the person who is loved needs. What did Peter need? He needed the restoration of fellowship. And that's exactly the love that Christ was showing to him. He needed to be restored back into fellowship. Now, you and I need that kind of love. Loving unselfishly to the point of being willing to sacrifice. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 12:15. He said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. Ooh, yeah. The more I love you, he said to the Corinthian people, the less you love me. But you know, we can't love people just because they love us in return. We have to love them and be willing to make sacrifices for their betterment. Because they're precious. God calls them precious. Now, I want you to notice that at this point in Peter's conversation, he wasn't able to say that he had the agape love for the Lord. And so he didn't fake it. He said, Lord, I'm fond of you. Now, you remember what Peter had said about his love for the Lord prior to the crucifixion? Matthew 26:33-35. Peter said he would follow the Lord to his death. Now Jesus asks him, if he has that kind of love. And he says, Lord, you know my weaknesses. You know my weaknesses. Peter's not faking it. And you know what, my friend? It doesn't do any good to fake it. Christ knows exactly what your heart is. You need to be like Peter. You need to be able to say, Lord, you know my weaknesses. See, Peter had bragged that he would follow the Lord, though all others deserted him. Now Jesus asks him if he loves him more than all the rest of these. Peter's not going that route anymore. He's not going to compare himself with the disciples anymore. He's already blown that. And Peter was grieved. He was grieved. The Bible says he was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? You know, you're really not open to the Lord's teaching until finally you get what the Lord is trying to say. In fact, the Bible tells us that Peter wasn't open to Christ's teaching until this very point. You ever wonder why the Lord uses words that grieve you? Is it to get your attention? To get your attention? Peter was grieved, but the Lord didn't give up. And the Lord didn't just walk away. In fact, he looked at Peter through the eyes of sovereignty, because he knew that one day Peter would see his preciousness enough to be willing to die for him. Precious. Yeah. That's what agape love makes others to become. Precious. And when Peter finally began to develop the agape love through his intimate relationship with the Lord, it's amazing how he used that word precious in his epistles. He used it 7 times. He talked about precious faith and precious blood and precious Christ. And now, how was he able to do that? It's because he had learned what it meant to surrender his life to Christ and to offer his life as a sacrifice for the Lord. And when he did that, then the Lord said, I want you to serve me. Now, my friend, when we consider Easter time, we consider the fact that Christ has done so much for us. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, so, how have I responded to his sacrifice for me? Am I serving him? Am I giving my heart and life for him? We'll spend one more time, the next time, on what it means to sacrifice for the Lord. And it will obviously mean service. That's what he was telling Peter he wanted him to do. That's exactly what he wants you and me to do. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.